Page 406. Okay, by side up to page 406. The Kisacha Lukim Olam Olam Boed. Your throne, Hashem. Okay, your throne, Hashem, is forever. Kisacha Lukim Olam Boed. Shevet Mishor Shev Malchusecha. The Shevet, the rod, Mishor of righteousness. The Shevet Malchusecha, the rod of your kingship. The word Shevet is another word for Malchus. We always use the word Shevet. Yosef Shevet mi Yehuda u'michakek mi bein Ragel. The word Shevet is a word or is authority, because if you have a stick, you hit. The only authority only comes with a fear of accountability, of punishment. That's an incredible insight. Is that people are accountable. A person does not behave himself, he will be hit by the Shevet. So the scepter represents
the melech, a king
has authority because the king has the ability to punish. Now, for example, there's a concept called Dina de Malchusa Din. This was not that long ago in the Daf Yomi. Toister explains very beautiful yisoid about Dina de Malchusa Din. Why is it that there is such a halacha that if we live in a foreign country, whatever the king says, you have to do, even though it's not according to the laws of the Torah. Dina de Malchusin, because the answer is, so Tosfos says this, the Ran says this, and others say the same thing, because if the king wants, he can expel you, he can throw you out of the land. It's his land, the king owns the land, it's his property, and then when you live in a country, you're living in the country based on his goodwill, because he allows you, and therefore this basically any condition he makes is valid. If he chooses to dismiss, remove a citizen from the country, that citizen has no choice, he has to leave. That gives him the ultimate control, that kol ma shiyomuch bal bayis ase afilutse, even to leave. Therefore, any thing that he wants from you, at least monetarily, you have to do, because he has the ultimate authority of telling you, of dismissing you from the land. A ruler has power, and if you don't obey his rule, he has the ability to hit you, to punish you. So the dogma of the authority of a melech is symbolized by his shevet, by his staff. The object which he can use to bring upon a person pain and suffering and punishment is the ultimate indication that he indeed has that authority. So here we discover Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem's throne, maybe the Kisei Hashem represents Kodesh Baruch Hu's authority, and we go on to describe that it's a Shevet Mishar Shevet Malchusecha. It is the Shevet, a rod of Mishar of righteousness. And it is a Shevet of Malchusecha of your kingdom. We have to see the first in more detail in a few moments. Pasuk Ches, Ahavta Tzedek, Hashem, you love Tzedek, V'tisnor Resha, Hashem, you hate Resha, Al-Kain, therefore, Mishachacha, Elokim, Elokecha, Shemen, Sasa, Mecha, Ve'recha. You love, this refers over here to, of course, to the Gelesi according to Rashi, to Talmid HaChomim, and therefore, he has anointed you, who is you? You refers over here to the, depending on the subject of this mizmor is, either refers to the Melech HaMashiach, or refers to Talmid HaChomim, or refers to Shlomo HaMelech, and it says, you Shlomo HaMelech, or you Melech HaMashiach, or you, the Talmud Chacham, you have a love for Tzedek, and you hate Resha, therefore Hashem, Al-Kim, therefore Mishachacha Elokim Elokecha, Hashem has anointed you with Shemen Sasain, oil of joy, Mecha Ve'recha, more so than your friends. Who do we say this about? The famous song, Rabbi Akiva. All Rabbi Hiro Akiva, Ah, Ashrechem Yisrael. I'm sorry, Bar Yochai. Bar Yochai, Voshachta Ashrecha, Shemen Sosa Mechaverecha. Correct, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the entire piyut, the entire mizmah that they sing a billion times, Allah Akbar Omer, again, 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 exactly what it says, Bar Yochai, Moshachta, you have been anointed, Ashrecha, you are fortunate, Shemen Sosan, it has been put upon you, you have been anointed with Shemen Sosan, more so, Mecha Ve'recha. That piyut, that mizmor, comes directly from this pasuk.
That mitzvah is not old, maybe 150 years.
100%, 100, no, more than, probably more like 300 years. 100% without a shadow, even the Nusach HaTfilah. The Nusach HaTfilah is, almost 2,000 years old. And the Nusach HaTfilah is all taken, Kimat every single word is taken from Tanakh, from a different expression, different psukim in Tanakh. But here the piyut take is and fits very well, especially if you learn, you understand that the subject of this mizmar are Talmidei Chachamim, and Rashbi is the quintessential Talmud Chacham. He sat in the cave for 13 years doing nothing, only learning Torah without any means of support. Miraculously he survived. And here we are describing, according to Rashi, Talmidei Chachamim, and here it says Hashem, the Talmud Chacham's essence is one who loves Tzedek, one who hates Resha, and therefore he has been anointed, Hashem has anointed him with Shemen Sosain more so than his friends. All of this, of course, needs a lot of explanation, a lot of depth in what exactly this means. We'll try to see a few little things here in a few moments. Let's do one more pasuk. Mor v'ahalois, ki tziois kol bigdoisach. Mor, now these are different types of spices. Mor and of ahalois, different besamim. Now what are ki tziois? Ki tziois are also, it's also a name of a spice. Kitzios, Rashi says, Kida mitargimin kitzias. Okay, it's also a name of a certain type of herb, and then it goes on kol big doisach, all of your garments. Simply, this means is that your clothing have been perfumed. This is very common in ancient times. I don't think today there's such a thing anymore, where clothing would be perfumed. Today, people put perfume, cologne.
But you weren't allowed to do on Shabbos. That's a whole.
Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? Right. So it's a whole shalom lach makir patish.
They didn't have showers. They didn't bathe. So
they called it clothing.
They didn't have water. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it was.
They put this on water. Their clothing.
So they put on the clothing.
Right. Today, you don't hear such a thing. Today, people put perfumes and cologne on their body. But in ancient times, they did. They put on their body different oils, but on their they would perfume their clothing, and it says so explicitly here in this pasuk. There's something called mor, something called aholois, and there is another spice that we don't have as common called kitzios. Kol big doisecha. The simple translation is your clothing. All of your clothing have been perfumed with the most expensive, the most beautiful spices. And then the pasuk concludes, min hechle shein mine simchuchach, your, now this is something also which is very bizarre, what exactly this means, ivory. What is ivory? The tooth of an elephant. Now, I don't know exactly why it's called the tooth of an elephant. The husk. The husk is called, the tooth? Tusk. Tusk is called, okay, the tusk of an elephant is the shane. It represents the tooth. The tusk, mine simuchucha, more, min, the word mini over here is, as it says, min means from. The yud is extra. It's a way of writing. Min, a variety, a form of simuchucha, of your joy. Okay, we're going to see this in the Mefarshim, one more, but let's just read the pasuk, and then we'll come back and explain everything. One more pasuk. B'nois mulachim b'kiroisecha. That's going to be a very big topic of discussion, what that word exactly means. A very long mincha shai, what that means. A princess, many of different kings are going to be people who are going to visit you. Or it means boker in the morning. Okay, we'll hold it for one moment. Nitzva shegal li mincha b'chesem oifir. The shegal is a word. The word shegal is a graphic word, which means marital. What? It's a three-letter word. Okay, it's a three-letter word, and in this context, it means a woman that is dedicated for marital relations. It is used to refer to the queen. Because the queen is someone that is
all,
no, the concept that is not, that's only temporary. the queen is always it's a permanent, so to speak, object for this activity, whereas the pilakshin, they only are occasional. They come and go. They come and go. The chesim oifir, wearing upon her head the finest gold. Okay, chesim means gold. Oifir is simply means a location. It's a place. Do we know exactly where this place is? Some say we do, some say we don't. And some say it's Peru. They have very, very exotic gold came from this location. There are many different types of gold. This gold that comes from this location, this place called Ophir, is of the highest quality, and the Shegal, the queen that is sitting on the right side of the king, is dressed and is crowned with gold, a golden crown that comes, and the gold was procured from this location called Ophir. All right, let's go back word by word and analyze what exactly these two pages are saying. Let's start with the Mitzvah stuff. First thing over here is Kisachah Elokim Olam, your throne, Kisachah Elokim Olam Moed. Let's see the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos is on page 407. Kisachah Elokim. Now we have to remember, according to the Mitzudos David, who is the subject? The subject of this entire Mizmar, we're referring to the Melech HaMashiach. When you learn the Ilma Farish, you have to be consistent. You have to remember that this entire Mizmar, we read inside, probably even more interpretations, at least five different interpretations, five different ways to understand who the subject of this Mizmar, who are we referring to? The Mitzudas David clearly told us that this Mizmar is describing the greatness of the Melech HaMashiach. That was his opinion. Rashi told us that we are describing Talmidei Chachamim. The Malbum said we are describing Shloimei HaMelech, when he got married to the daughter of the king of Tsar. So right now we're learning the Mitzvah, so we have to remember we're describing here the Melech HaMashiach. And he says, Kisacho Elokim, Kisei HaMelucho HaNosun Lucho, May Elohim Yiskayim Oylam Voed. You, the Melech HaMashiach, you will be now given authority. When Mashiach will arrive, the entire world will appoint him as the Melech, will give him the title of Melech, and they will give him Malchus. His Malchus will last forever. Why? Because it is a Malchus that has been approved of, has been sanctioned by none other than Hashem himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is granting the Melech HaMashiach authority, and therefore his authority will endure le'olam vo'ed. Kisei HaMelucha HaNosun Lucha, that has been granted to you, may Elokim, is being granted to you from Hashem, and therefore yiskayem olam vo'ed. Shevet, bavur, what's the word shevet? It means a rod, or a scepter, bavur, ki memshelas malchus ki memshelas mishar, because your authority of kingship is a kingship of uprightness. Ki tinoig es hamelucha b'tzedek uvemishar, you will conduct yourself with righteousness and correctness. Not like what goes on in this world today, a corrupt world of abusive leaders, people who literally take their power and they use it for their own benefit, and they don't care about the people whom they serve. That will not be the case when it comes to Melech HaMashiach. Alkein, therefore, bavur kishroi ma'asecho, due to the correctness of your good deeds, mishochacho elokim lemelech shemen sosoi. Now, what does this mean over here? Lepa'amim ye'onach ha'am kishayim loich alei melech imhu loy l'rotzelam. Sometimes people, they moan and groan when a king is appointed who is not of benefit, a king who does not know what he is doing, who is foolish, and is just using his authority to cover up for his own crimes and for the benefit of his family and for his own selfish interests. And people who have to live with such a king, they moan and groan. King doesn't know what he's doing. There's high inflation, there is anxiety that there'll be wars, there's a crime rate goes up, people lose their jobs, the whole health industry collapses, everything goes down the drain. So who suffers? The common man. The common man suffers very, very, very much. The rich and famous, they don't suffer. They walk away with a lot of money. So when you will be appointed to be the king over the people, how do you appoint the king? You anoint them with shemen. Shemen represents anointment. You anoint the king by pouring upon the king shemen. This appointment will be lissosoin. People will be happy and will celebrate your installment as the leader. Yielecha, alecha, sosoin mechavrecha, kiakol yach pitsu b'cha. Everyone will be happy. Can you imagine? You have it's unanimous. I mean, today in politics, if you get in by 55%, that's a landslide. Really, it's a monumental landslide. You have 49% of the country. Most of the time, they people get into office are literally a skinny little sliver. So about half the population is in mourning. Is in mourning. How many people commit suicide the next day when after a presidential election? There are statistics. How many suicides happen the next day after presidential election?
Are you serious?
Surely. After Trump there were many, many suicides. People couldn't deal with it when Trump became president. So it's a reality, that's how it is. You live in a big country.
Who was that written by Moore?
So here it says, so here's everyone. When it says over here, Shemen Sasa Mechavarecha, what does it mean over here, Mechavarecha? Again, the words of the Mitzvah are, Kiakol Yechbitsu Bucha. One more time, desire. The word yachbitsu means desire. Everyone voted for the king. Everyone wants him. There's no opposition. It's people really are happy with his appointment. One more time. Well, Zelmar, kasher tia nimshach b'shem alimlech ala'am, yi'olecha sosoy mechavarecha. Compared to your predecessors, there was no joy in when your predecessors were elected, were appointed, were anointed, because many of the people that were appointed, they were appointed only through corruption, or their policies are harmful for a certain segment of society, and whatever the reason was, they were appointed. Would you, the Melech HaMashiach, be appointed? Your appointment as being the Melech will be of joy for the entire world, unprecedented. Much, much more so than all of the leaders who came before you. So Mechavarech, according to the Mitzvah David, again, we have to remember, according to the Mitzvah David, we are describing the Melech HaMashiach. And we are describing the Melech HaMashiach becoming the king, being installed as the Melech over the entire world. Who will do this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do this. His installment will be divine, and therefore it will last forever. And when he will be appointed, everyone will rejoice. There will be no opposition. And this will be unprecedented, because Mechavarecha, which means all world leaders that have existed in this world up until the time of Melech HaMashiach, when they were appointed, not everyone was so happy. There were always people who were jealous, who were dissidents, there was always an opposition party in the entire history of the world, David HaMelech. Not everyone was happy with David HaMelech. David HaMelech had bitter, bitter enemies. And even after he died, they said he was illegitimate. The family of Shaul, his descendants, were not happy with David's appointment. I mean, and because of the chait of Bathsheba, he had other enemies. David had many enemies when he was appointed. Shlomo HaMelech, Adonia ven Chagis, Misnasei Leimar, and the Emloch. There was a coup. There was an attempt to prevent Shlomo HaMelech from becoming the king by Adonia ven Chagis. And a major segment of David's cabinet joined the rebellion to appoint Adonia ven Chagis in the lifetime of David. And it's only because of David, the very last moment of Bathsheba and Nosan Hanavi, did Shlomo Melech become king? And David gave David, and when Shlomo became king, obviously he was still fighting against an opposition party. And the Haraya, when Shlomo Melech died and Rehavam succeeded him, right away there was the rebellion of Yerovam and Nevat. And there's nothing to talk about from there on in until the end, until the Malchus was split between the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael. And after the Malchus of Yisrael came to an end, and all there was the Malchus of Yehuda, there was also terrible fights going on between going on Avodah Zarah and opposition, v'chulu v'chulu, until the Korban. So there was never ever a time in the history of the world, and not the history of Klal Yisrael, where the leader was accepted by everyone. Isn't it an amazing thing? Never was there a time in the entire history of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael that everyone was happy with our leader. It never existed. There's no such thing
not
as
by Moshe
Korach, exactly. When Moshe from the very beginning, Hamibli and Kvadim and Mitzrayim and Tachton Lomos Bamidbar, right away when they left Mitzrayim. And the Korach, to the very end, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Dosan Va'aviram, as long as there was a Dosan Va'aviram, there was always opposition. Okay, Misamchel is Sar, who appointed you? Sar v'shefet aleinu. Hal hargeni ato emir, kasharakta v'esho ish. Dosan Va'aviram challenged Moshe Rabbeinu's authority from day one. From literally day one. And as long as they were alive, their words echoed, Misamchel ish. Who made you? Who put you in charge over here? So there was never ever a time in Jewish history that we had a leader that was accepted by everyone. There was no such thing as unanimous leadership. No such thing. Never was, and will never will be until the time of Mashiach. And
well,
this passage,
that there was an election of everybody.
No.
There was
appointment somehow.
Appointment either through succession. But the point, however they came into position, that's a very, very big topic of how do you come into position. It does seem that there was some type of election for the Kohanim and the Sanhedrin. It does seem that there was some type of election. Who exactly were the people who had votes? How did the system work? Not clear. Okay, well, how does it work exactly? Who gets to vote? Is the American system the best system? Not necessarily. Okay, you need to have some system. The Torah does say, when they make a halachic decision in the Sanhedrin, the Torah recognizes you're not going to have unanimity. You have to have a vote. Acharei radim lahatois. So this and that's when it comes to halacha. What about when it comes to leadership? Leadership. So this pasuk is an incredible, incredible pasuk. At least according to the Mitzudos David, how he understands this pasuk. And what's very beautiful about this is that Mitzvah David understands we're dealing over here l'shitasoi with the Melech HaMashiach, with leadership, with authority, and it's telling us the Shemid represents the installation, the Hachtarah of the Melech, and it is going to be a time of Sosoin, and it's unprecedented. His appointment as the Melech is unprecedented in that it's a Sosoin. Mechaverecha. What does it mean, mechaverecha? It doesn't mean his colleagues. It means his predecessors. All of the people in world history that had a position of authority and leadership, they never ever had the acceptance of the Hamoinam with joy as the Melech HaMashiach. You go into a fifth grade in public school and they have on the wall all the presidents of the United States. Okay, all the presidents, everything, George Washington, George R. George, from George Washington all the way, every single one of them, they were elected, supposedly, right? There was a fair election, and they were, did everyone in the country like them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They had people that wanted to assassinate them. How do you know? Because some of them were killed. Some, yeah? I'm sorry?
Like
23. If everyone votes that it's Chayiv Misa, then he's Yot, then he is, he goes free. Why? Because you can't find the Zuchus, a Limud Zuchus. But let's say everyone votes that he's innocent, then he goes free. You don't say the rule. Let's say everyone. Let's say the entire Sanhedrin votes. Or let's say it's only Chav Gimel. There's no din of Misas Bezdin with 70. Maybe a Zokin Mamre. It could be a Zokin Mamre. You have to have 70. You have to have all 70. I think Zokin Mamre. You need the Sanhedrin Agadol. But for a capital punishment, so let's say all 23 judges paskin innocent. They sit in din. They paskin innocent. So why don't you say the same Sada? If everyone says innocent, no one is really analyzing the tzad lim that he did a crime. What's the lumness if all of the dayanim, 23 dayanim, they pass that the person is guilty, he goes free? There's a din Torah, and the witnesses testify in front of the Sanhedrin. Every single judge says guilty as sin. There is no room for doubt. This man murdered someone. So the halach is every single dayan says guilty. The person is. He's not killed. I don't know if he goes on the street, not mukhach, that he goes free out. They put him in jail. They give him a life sentence in solitary confinement, but they don't take his life. There's no misas bezin. What's the law? This is what the Gemara says, because it says in the pasuk that you have to be mahapech in his zuchus. I don't remember the pasuk exactly, but you have to go look for a person's merit. If every single dayan paskins guilty, there is no one on the Sanhedrin that is even going to try to find a merit. There has to be at least one person who says innocent. And then the other members of the Sanhedrin, they are challenged. If this Talmud Chacham, obviously people who are on the Sanhedrin, you have a bezdin of 23 dayanim, each person is a master Talmud, is a magnificent Talmud Chacham. And if one of them has a lumdish reason why the person should be innocent, you just can't ignore that. And the other 22 dayanim have to deal with it, have to analyze the logic, the reasoning. You just can't reject it. So then there's going to be a debate, give and take. And if they come to a conclusion, nevertheless, we hear what you have to say. We understand your logic, your reasoning, why you want to declare him innocent, but nevertheless, we disagree. Okay, so you are mahapich in his chus. Why don't we say the other way around? That if a person, if every single member of the Sanhedrin, paskins, decides innocent, so he's not getting a fair trial. Obviously, the fact that there are witnesses that come and testify that did an Aveira, there's something to discuss. No, that we don't say, because the limud, because the Torah, I don't remember the exact drasha, tzedek tirdoif, there's only a principle in Judaism to seek out the good. There is no principle to pursue a reason to kill somebody. So
if you can't. Guilty.
There's no appeal system.
What can you do?
See, you're an American, like me, is that we are used to this concept in America of going for an appeal. Who says it's such a good thing? The Court of Appeals, there are these many, many layers of appeal in America, which I guess is very good, because there's a lot of corruption in this country, in this world.
It's based on the recognition that the legal system is corrupt to begin with.
Yeah.
So therefore, you have to have
an appeal. You have appeal. In America, it's an incredible chiddush in world history. Study this concept. I don't know how many layers of appeals are there in government. I'm not familiar with the whole court system, but sometimes you have a case that goes right to the Supreme Court. There are cases where they go straight to the Supreme Court. I don't know how it works.
The lower courts have to let it go.
There are ways. I think you can go directly.
The Supreme Court has to accept such a.
They don't have to go to the state case.
They won't take a case direct. There's a whole procedure to take.
Okay, whatever it is, but it's an amazing thing how in this country, and it's unprecedented in world history how the Constitution is set up, where you can go for an appeal. If you feel that you did not receive a fair trial, it's incredible. In halacha, you don't have such a thing. Ein bezin yochel levatel divrei bezin chaver elimkein gadol nimenu b'chachma uvaminyin. So there is such a thing as an appeal. Okay, but the rules are, that I always tell you is one of the reasons why it's a very big problem today, why people go to our courts. This is the biggest, if anyone knows about Bati Dinim, will tell you the secret. The reason why many people today will not go to a Bezdin, and they will only go to a secular court when you deal with big money, is because of this reason. Because if you go to a Bezdin, and the Bezdin is a real Bezdin, which has been given authority by the government. The government is derived, they love it when people go to for dispute resolution. And a Bezdin basically is a dispute resolution system where arbitration, where government is very, don't bother us. We have enough cases, enough on our plate to last us for generations. So anybody in society that wants to decide disputes, the government says, kol hakavod, we will give you legal recognition, and whatever you decide is the law, and we'll even freeze the bank accounts of the litigants who come to your court or to your dispute resolution service. You want to go to court? Take years. Why don't you just get it over with? Take 10 people from the street and sit down in front of them and let them decide. As long as the people who come to argue the case in front of these people, they sign their names, that whatever this organization decides, we accept upon ourselves, the government will rubber stamp it, ad kidei kach, it's legally binding, and they will enforce it. They will come and they will enforce the law, whatever they decide.
The point is there is no appeal to arbitration.
Exactly, exactly. So Bezdin is no different than any other dispute resolutions. There are many of these services. I know someone, he passed away. He retired. He's a brilliant person, really brilliant person. You know, he didn't go to Kollel, that wasn't his thing. And after he retired, what did he do? He was basically a judge in an arbitration. He loved it.
Arbitrator.
Yeah. Arbitrator. They have these services. People come, and I don't know if he got paid or not. And basically, he got paid whatever. And that's what he did all day. That's what he did. He sat there. People, he felt really good. He was like a judge. And people presented their arguments. And he decided. And whatever he decided, that was the law. That was it, the government. So Bezdin is the same exact thing. They go to the government, you get a license to be a Bezdin, and people come for Dinei Torah. What's the problem? You go to a Bezdin, and you're dealing with millions of dollars, or even not millions of dollars, and Bezdin passes the halacha. That's it, it's over. There is no way for you to appeal the decision. So if you're dealing with big, big money, and you're going to Rabbanim, and you're not really comfortable with the system, that the Rabbanim really understand what you're dealing with, and there can be a lot of other things involved, even though the halacha is you have to go to a Bezdin, not to a secular court, but the fear, as being an American, that it's final, and there's nothing you can possibly do. Once the Bezdin gives a decision, and it can be literally millions of dollars, it's very frightening for many people. Because if you go to a court, and the court decides against you, okay, so you now file for an appeal. And if you know what you're doing, if you know how to work the system, you'll get it. And you'll go to another court, a higher court, and you'll play around for the next 50 years until the lawyers get all the money instead of the litigants getting the money. So it's a very big problem. I think they would solve a lot of the Bati Dinim problem. I always say this, if the Bati Dinim can structure themselves in such a way where you can have an appeal by another Bezdin, a higher Bezdin.
But the base of the Bezdin is we're going to probably, most likely, come to a Pshara. Some people just
okay.
Want
so
that.
Let's say you don't like the Pshara. There's a halacha.
If I appeal, I'm willing to go to a Pshara, even though I know
we're talking
right.
About that.
There's no such thing when you go to a Bezdin, that's a given. There's no such thing when you go to a Bezdin as getting 100%. Going to Bezdin automatically, flat out, means...
I didn't want to say those words. I just said, most likely, we'll have a Pshara.
No, there's no such thing.
There's always Pshara.
There's no such thing. That's the first halacha in the Chashem Mishpat. It has to be a Pshara. I mean, unless it's so blatantly clear. If it's so blatantly clear, you don't need to go to Bezdin. It's going to be like, I'll call the police.
In a Bezdin,
all right.
I have to pay this since you owe me money, and you didn't pay me. I'm taking you to Bezdin to pay you.
The agreement in a Bezdin says, Das Torah, doesn't say
that. That was Das Torah, doesn't mean, there's no thing as Das Torah. Das Torah is a Hashkafic thing.
But they signed, and they agreed to the opinion of the judges, that halacha. It doesn't mean, you don't sign, I want a halacha pass.
Echosha Mishpat, the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Shulchan is that no one today is qualified to paskin on Echosha Mishpat. So So when you go to a Beis Din today, Bezman Hazeh, it is arbitration. And you're masking. Now it doesn't mean 50-50, it can mean 90-10, 70-30, 60-40, it doesn't mean 50-50. This is what appears to be correct. And Beis Din has it, I mean, if you come into the Beis Din, and to go to a secular court is a Chil Hashem. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. Lifneihem v'loy lifnei arkois. It's a very, very serious matter. So today, why don't people want to go to Beis Din? So what do? They go to Beis Din. Beis Din says, signs off, we now appoint the secular court to be our representatives in answering your in resolving your dispute. Why can't the Beis Din resolve the dispute? Because the people don't want the Beis Din to resolve the dispute. Why not? What's the real reason they don't want the Beis Din to resolve the dispute? Because if Beis Din resolves the dispute, the government says, it's over. There's nothing you can do. If you sign the dotted line, you go to a Beis Din that has been licensed, go to the RCA Beis Din, okay? The Beis Din of America. Go to the Beis Din that's been licensed, or Spitzer, also I'm sure they're licensed. You go to a Beis Din that's licensed and you sign the documents, it's over, you're finished. Once the Beis Din decides, you don't pay the money, there's a process where you can go and the government, they have, I don't know how all the details, but they can take away your money. Because if you signed it out of line, oh, I want to go for an appeal. Sorry, buddy, there's no appeal. You want an appeal, then you go to court from the very beginning. So people are afraid of that, so therefore they don't want to go to Beis Din, and the Beis Din lets them go to our case. But if there would be some type of system where people go to a Beis Din, a local Beis Din, go to the RCA, and let's say the RCA is there, and you don't like the psak, and you want to file an appeal, I don't know how they would do it. Maybe that's why it's not been done. There'll be some technique in being able to have the din, the whatever the conclusion is, done by another Beis Din. Forget about have a Beis Din that's gadol mimenu b'chochma v'minyan. But there will be some clause. You have to be very creative in how you're able to do it. You would take away the problem, which is the dov, which all the gadolim they talk about. It's a chil Hashem. A tremendous chil Hashem.
Is there such thing as an appeal by a Beis Din?
No, that no. Now, anyway, Beis Din is not a Beis Din today. It's an arbitration. But at least going for arbitration by a Beis Din, you're not in violation of the halacha of the ilaham mishpatim asher tasim lifnei v'lod lifnei arkois. Going to a secular court is a shocking, blatant iser d'raisa, according to some. It's a chil Hashem. You're supposed to pose your questions not before a secular court. Today, all of these dynasties, whenever a Rebbe dies, the next day they're in court. Literally the next day they're in court over the Yerusha. Okay, and it's very funny. Some of the celebrity cases...
They're not going to court. It's their foundation that's going to court.
So there have been some celebrity cases, you follow the news, where the judge himself says... Let your Rebbe paskin for them. What are you coming to me over here? I don't want to decide this.
Paskin who the real Rebbe is.
Okay, there are some celebrity cases where the judge himself said, the judge called out the people and they said, what a chil Hashem, you're coming to court. Why can't you decide this matter amongst yourselves? Why do you have to go fight over here and fight? You're dealing with... this is a very big problem. Part of the equation is Beis Din is final. It's final. All right, so over here we got sidetracked because in life is all about machloikis. This is life.
So now we can talk about that.
Later. One thing I can tell you, though, about the convention, there are two worlds. There's what's going on at the convention, and there is the outside world. The outside world takes this convention very seriously. The people at the convention don't even know what's going on. They're much more interested in the food,
right.
and in the accommodations.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, don't take anything that anyone says at the podium seriously. And people outside of this building, they imagine that there's something very important going on over here. Two completely different worlds. All right, let's go for it. We have over here Shemin Sasa Mechavrecha. It's a very beautiful idea. Mechavrecha means your predecessors. See, that's what's interesting, because most people, when they hear the mechaverecha, they mean your contemporaries, your associates, your chaverim. That's not what it means according to the Mitzudos. It means predecessors. All world leaders, all kings of Klal Yisrael, leaders of Klal Yisrael, from the very moment they arrived on the scene, did not have the full support of Klal Yisrael. There's no such thing. I told you this once. I know there was a Shulu community in Lakewood. Every day, Baruch Hashem, Lakewood is thriving like none other. And there was a new community, and they're very good Balabatim. This story goes back almost 20 years. Very, very choshra, young B'nai Torah, and they made a community, and they want a new development. They made a development. The development already, it's already an old development. It's already 20 years of development. And they have to have a Rav. Yeah. So they to their credit, they don't know the first thing how to go about selecting a Rav, the entire process, and they consulted with a lot of elderly people that have experience. And they went around to a lot of gedolim and different, how do we go about selecting a Rav for our kihil? Should we look for someone young, someone older, someone this? So I don't know, they got a lot of advice, and one of the things that they actually listened to was when you finalize who you're going to select, you take a vote. The vote, in order for the person, the candidate, to be accepted, he should be voted in by 80%. Normally, I know I'm young Israel, vote for a rabbi, my father should say, the vote is 51%. 50.00. One vote can make 50%. 51%, you win, you become the rabbi. Don't do that. You have to be voted by a super duper. A super majority is 70%. 60% you can call a super majority. In America, 60% is a landslide. Mamish, a landslide. Go check out how many people win by 60%. Almost no one. Very rare does someone get in by 60%. There's always, that's the way life is. You want this person, lahachis, I want the other person.
Except if you're a Democrat in New York City.
Isn't the put down in the law that a Rav that's liked by everybody is not a Rav?
And a Rav that's hated by everyone is not a mensch.
Right.
Exactly. So you have 20, so
51?
So the advice was the Rav should get in by 80%. Why? If he doesn't get in by 80%, don't take him. Why? Because for you who live in Lakewood, in the ear of Lakewood, it's not going to happen that you're going to be able to throw out a rabbi. You know, in America, you go out in America, you have a rabbi, he has a contract, a one-year contract, first a one-year contract, then he gets a three-year contract, a five-year contract, and you know, it's that's how it is. It's like a baseball player. But in Lakewood is a city of B'nai Torah. You're not going to be able to get away with it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able, you'll give a rabbi a contract in your development, Lakewood, a three-year contract, and after 3 years, you're not going to like it. Who's not going to like him? 60% of the people want him out. 40% want him, very common, right? Let's just take a rabbi in Lakewood, and the rules are going to be majority. Or you give a Rav in Lakewood a three-year contract. After 3 years, okay, take a vote. Should we renew the contract? It's very likely you'll have 55% of the people who vote. We don't like him. We don't like him. He's just not out. Nice guy. He's a nice guy. He's just not for us. I mean, that's human nature, even in Lakewood. So what are you going to do? You're going to fire him? 55% don't want him anymore. You're going to fire him? It's not going to happen. You know why? Because the backlash, Torah, the Rav, like what you said, in your kehila, where you come from, it's going to be very, very ugly. How do you know? Because it happened already a few times in Lakewood, where they dismissed the rabbi, and the collateral damage is still there. Ad hayom hazeh. I can name you people. So it's just not going to happen that you're going to throw them out. And if you do throw them out, there's a lot of consequences. And even though maybe that's the way life is, and that's how it goes on.
It's easier at an 80-20 vote to get rid of 20% of your membership than to get rid of your rabbi.
Exactly. So it's no, listen, there's no perfect.
You're in trouble.
Listen, it can happen with 80-20 also. If 80% of the people take him originally and they warn him, it's much, much less likely you're going to have an ugly situation like this down the line. Not that it's not possible. Anything is possible. But don't set yourself up as a new kehila where you're looking for trouble. If the new rabbi you're going to take when you make a new kehila, young people, is going to be getting by 51%, so go down the line 5 years from now. Who knows? No one knows. But if the rabbi you take right now, he's in by 80%, no one knows the future. Well, derech hateva, there's less of a chance you're going to have an ugly situation a couple of years down the road. That was the advice.
Was there a clause also that if you want to get rid of him, you need 80% to get rid of him?
What?
If you want to get rid of him, another clause. If you want
I don't know.
Him,
I don't know all the clauses. This is the only thing that I remember hearing. And Taka, they took a rav, gotten by 80%, and he was really beloved. He died. He died. Well, he died like I guess like. Like 15 years later, yeah, and they mourned over him big time. They really mourned over him. So now that took a new rav. They had a big search committee. They had a new rav, and they liked the new rav very much also. Okay, so the point over here is shenem sasan echaviracha. It's a merdik yisoid. There's no such thing as 100%. There's no such thing as a leader who every single person likes. Anyone who goes into rabbanis. Or any position of leadership, imagining that every single balabas in the shul loves him, you're living in a land of fantasy. At any given moment, even the balabatim who really, really like you, if they would have to take a vote right now, should we continue his contract, you would be shocked how many would say, even though we love him and he's so good, he's not the right thing for the community. In order for the shul to grow and adapt and be current with the times, he's not the right person. We need someone else. Even people you think are your biggest supporters. That's the way it goes. This is life. This is life. Anyone who thinks otherwise is living in a world of fantasy. And here we have a person that's being appointed. Shemen Sosan Mechaverecha. This is unique in world history. Every single person will be masking that this person deserves to be the leader, and it will be a joy that will be achieved in this world more so than all of his predecessors who lived had the mantle of leadership. Okay. No, in Raisho, my great grandfather was the Rav. So I have a book, Rezhenov, big thick book, the history of Rezhenov. It was written, but it was published by survivors, people who survived the Holocaust. And in that region, Rezhenov, Raisho, that region, the Seviva, it was in Galicia. That region of there, there were about 500,000 people. Not that Reisha Mamish, but in the whole Seviva, 500,000 people. You know how many were left when the war was over? Not even one. Hitler, Yemach Shemoi V'Zichro, he killed everyone. He killed everyone. Everyone who survived fled for their lives. Nothing is left. Mamish, nothing.
Same thing with Dinah.
Unbelievable. 500,000 people wiped out the whole place. So survivors, everyone who was managed to survive, you look at the pictures, unbelievable, some of the pictures that were being taken away to be killed by the Nazis, unbelievable they have in that book. People there have the memory, so they put out, this probably goes back 50, 60 years ago, the survivors, the history of Raisha, a very rich history, hundreds of years of what went on in that city, and they calculate there were 21 rabbanim. There's some very famous Rabbanim, the Shlis Yaakov, there was a Rav, many, I don't know, go through the whole history, there were 21 Rabbanim who graced Raisha. Some, there were different tekufas. There were some times when it was a big, big chasher, a very, very distinguished city, and there were times that there were problems there. There wasn't such a hot place to be. It was a very 21 Rabbanim. And how they appointed? I don't know, you have to go, how exactly were they elected? I know that my great-great-grandfather, I don't know how he became the Rav there. His name was Rav Nosson Levine. So he was the Reisharov. And he was there during some very difficult times, during World War I. And so there's a picture of him with all the soldiers during World War I. He was there, and he served as Rav during a very, very difficult tikufa. Then he passed away, and they gave him a lot of cover. It seems when he passed away, they made an oihel. And then there was no Rav for over a year. There was no Rav, and then, a year later, they sent, I don't know why, I don't even know the history, to his son. They felt that the one that should be Malo Mekoyma should be his son. So that he was then a Rav in a different city. And he took up the position. He moved. But there was an entire year where there was no Rav. And during that year, a lot of very bad things happened. That time, there was a lot of Haskalah. They were, and there was a lot of Chil Shabbos. And I think Rav Nosson Levine fought with them. They wanted to build. They built what was called the Bet Am. The Bet Am was like a community center. So I think Rav Nosson Levine warned them, "Don't you dare be mechal Shabbos. Do the construction; it cannot be done on Shabbos." And we take it for granted today, right? So you know, and they know they didn't care. They wanted to do the construction on Shabbos. So I think he prevented them from doing it on Shabbos. The moment that he died, they built the whole thing. 1, 2, 3 on Shabbat, during, non-stop, they built it. And when it was finished, then they sent for his son to become the Rav. If they would have sent for his son to take over the Shtela, then he wouldn't have let him do it on Shabbos. But there were many Shtibuch there. They had an official Rav, but there were many Rabbanim, all different types, Hasidim, and there was a lot of fighting, different Kehillah, different
I think
it was a good
from neighborhood.
I don't know how good it was. It was
it is still a minion. Hopefully I go back in June and we'll see. But in Pressburg where the San Soko was.
Okay, that's a different place. That's
Czechoslovakia. They still have a shul. It's in Slovakia.
What?
But they still have a shul that operate. The original shul. It's a massive structure.
Reisha is nothing. It's literally, literally nothing.
Shul, but they still have a minion on a daily basis.
A couple of months ago, not even so long, maybe less. I read online. It was the news. Reznov. Like in all the major news outlets. What was happening? United States. I don't know what's going on. Really going on is that when Russia invaded Ukraine. So NATO, they're afraid, I don't know what's really going on, is that after Russia will conquer Ukraine, we'll go into Poland. This will be just like another World War II. Once they'll conquer, they'll wipe out Ukraine, they'll go right into Poland. So the United States started to send supplies to Poland to fortify Poland, that in case Russia succeeds in conquering Ukraine, they shouldn't get any ideas to go weiter into Poland. So where did the United States send all the military supplies? Where was the staging area to transport tanks and missiles and weapons to fortify their allies, the NATO allies? Reznov. So they basically wrote that every hour a plane, a military transport plane, is landing in Reznov with military supplies to be Mechazek Poland. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you're 75 years too late. 75 to years, so every hour, go Google it, Mayor, every hour a plane was landing in Reznov, by the United States, Mechazek. Don't get any ideas to come and kill everyone over here also, to take over this place. 75 years ago, there should have been planes landing every hour in Reznov to fortify Poland against the aggression of the Nazis, Yimach Shemar Mizrachim. The problem was Poland was complicit. Poland was very happy to participate. To participate in this horror. 75 years too late. Yeah? That's the world. Okay, so over here we are, over here. We learned at least one parish over here. Let's read over here the next Kaposik test. Let's read the next one to the Slavid. Kol Big Doisacha. Your garments are perfumed with the best, with more va'aholois and kitsiois. Mrs. David, cool on you, mikutarim b'minei boisem. Ki chein derech ha'gedoylim ligamer b'voisem l'chavi l'hamareach. They do it today? Am I mistaken? Is there any such thing today where they people have clothing that are perfumed? Is there such a thing today? You buy perfumed clothing? I never heard of this. Maybe there is. What?
Incense,
but not on your clothing? Clothing?
They
steam clothing with perfume. Okay, that was the derech in those days. Now come to something which I really no understanding of what this means.
They do it. When you do the washing machine, you throw in the bounce. The bounce puts the perfume.
Okay, you're saying good. You're saying good. Okay, but don't, but not,
people,
that's not
people allergic to the perfume.
Right, the, when you do, when you bounce, right, you put into the dryer. People still do that today?
Downing, whatever it is.
They still do that. I don't know.
Well, that's why you can buy all these detergents unscented. Otherwise,
you know, today the derech is natural. Is no, it's
a
more
natural scent.
Well, not
it's like trees or whatever.
Organic, all food has to be organic. Whatever, okay, whatever it is. Okay, next. Now this, I don't get this. Maybe you can explain exactly what the luxury of this is. Shein. Shein is the shein hapil, tusk. An elephant, what is it called? The tusk. So that's called the tooth. And because like that's where the elephant eats from. It sucks in the food. So that is called
a weapon.
A tooth. It's a weapon. It's actually very dangerous. That's called a tooth. That's called a tooth? It's not really a tooth. Why is that called? I never understood this. Why is that? Where does the food go? The food go, they suck it, right?
No, you're talking about the trunk.
All right, I'm all confused.
He drinks with the trunk.
The
he has a mouth.
And then
there's
the trunk.
He has a regular mouth.
The trunk. And where and it has a mouth, right?
And then it sucks it with the trunk
and
puts it in
the
mouth.
It sucks it with the trunk and puts it into its mouth. And what is the tusk?
A weapon.
The knock
on your head.
What? That's on the head. Horns? That's horns?
Yeah.
It's horns? So that material is the most exotic material in the world?
It still is.
Not
why?
Rhinoceros. There's a difference between Indian and African elephants. One has tusks and one doesn't.
And there's the rhinoceros horn also.
Yeah. What's so special about the tusk? What does it feel like?
Ivory.
So what is ivory? I'm
very hard. It wards off other animals.
It's hard?
It's hard.
It's hard. So what is the gedul of having this material?
Well, they make chess pieces with it.
What is the milum? Why is it so special, this material, the tusk?
Very strong. It's very,
very strong.
It's polishable very nicely. It's
And what about a snake skin? Why is it more exotic than rattleskin, snake skin? Is it more exotic than exotic woods?
Because you can raise those snakes and get a lot more than the elephant tusks are becoming extinct. It's more elephants, crazy.
All right, whatever it is. I mean, hechle shein, mine sim chucha, mitsudo is David. Mitzvah Stavid explains, min hechle shein, min hasimcha, the joy, all of your garments are perfumed with these exotic fragrances. Min hechle shein, min hasimcha, v'harchava sadas. More so, with joy, and he adds over here in something which maybe is the secret to tusk. He adds in the Mitzvah Stavid.
They serve a variety of purposes. The tusk, the elephant tusk. Digging, lifting objects, gathering food, stripping bark from trees to eat, and defense. The tusks also protect the trunk, another valuable tool for drinking, breathing, and eating, among other uses. You got that?
I hear what you said, but I still don't understand why it's the most expensive commodity in the world.
It's rare.
It's a lot of rare things.
It's not the most expensive.
Very expensive.
Why is gold so expensive? It's a piece of
ivory. Ivory has been valued since ancient times as part of manufacturing for making a range of items. From ivory carvings to false teeth, piano keys, fans, and dominoes. Big game.
All right, so he writes and they're looking at this as well. There has to be something deeper. If you find this in Chazal, if you find this concept all over the place in Chazal, the shame of the pilim, there has to be something very deep about this concept of why it's so special.
Focused on this. I don't know why you're so focused.
Because, I don't know, it just appears in different places, and like, what is it, this gold and this silver? I guess we're brainwashed.
Everything is supply and demand. Everything is supply and demand.
It's got to be deeper. I don't know. Let's see. Min heich leishein. Min, what's more valuable? There's a whole discussion. What's a shovel echem? Calm, good morning. Oh, yeah. Baruch Dynamis.
You were Ben Judah.
Are yoshev in a heichal, in a palace, in an abode, in a room of that is made from shame? From the joy that you have from people that rejoice in these objects. Any Jew that you have will be a me'ain. Something similar, has simcha sheyesh l'mi sheyoshe beheich leishem. She simcha gidoyla umiruba. Really, really, what does that mean exactly? Okay, over Shabbos I went to a place that was so fancy, exotic. This past Shabbos I went to a place that was gorgeous. A lot of people were miserable. There are a lot of very depressed people, a lot of tzaras. Who came some chizuk? So what? Just because you go into a heichel of shame, a beautiful place with flowers and marble, and it's gorgeous, you know, all these fancy schmancy things, you're automatically happy. People are miserable. People, I saw my own eyes. People speaking to other people, mamish, telling them their tzaras and asking for advice. So what does it mean over here? There are people.
Obviously, these people are very shallow-minded.
What?
That they're so simple because it was a rumor.
So what does it mean? I don't tell you what Chazal are talking over here about shallow people. The apostle over here is talking about shallow people. You can't go, what?
It makes you feel good if you're in a nice place.
Certainly, the Gemara says, Marchivin Daito Shalom. Marchivin Daito Shalom.
I don't understand what this means.
Obviously, there's something more. There's something that we are missing. Cannot be. If the Pasuk in Tehillim talks about the Harchava Sadas of living specifically in a heichal of shame, not in a heichal of gold or silver or some exotic retreat out in Florida or in the Caribbean, there's something
that is not as exotic as the shame.
No, there's something that we're missing.
Go back to zero for a minute. All these things, diamonds, the silver, the gold, and the tusk, it has value.
Okay.
So stop there. Don't get
all right. Okay. I'm not going to argue. With Son of Lamar.
Maybe he wrote this when he was with his African wives.
Ooh. Mark. The Uyu, Mark.
This is Dovin, it's not Shlomo.
Dovin was a very holy person. There's something, I listen, this may be Bnei Korach wrote this, Nochmal. Three lines are, Ritzoyin Eloimar, Kol Minei Simcha, Sheyiyu Lucha, all of the forms of Jew that you will have in Melech HaMashiach. Yiyu, they will be Me'ein. It will be just a Me'ein, a teeny drop in the bucket of the dogma. In this world, there are people that have joy who sit in Heichle Shein. They have this incredible joy. Really? I think we all know that. I think most people are not foolish enough to realize that the people who have these Heichle Hashem are miserable people, more or less. I don't know what it means over here.
Nobody has it.
It's an imagination?
I would have something else. Nowadays, Shane is from the body, from a goof.
Yeah.
All the other things are not that evaluated.
So exactly to me. So you're already touching upon something. So you yourself, there's something very deep over here. Let's go further. She's simcha gedoyla umeruba. It's an incredible joy. I'm really not aware that in the modern world today, people who have it all, people who are billionaires, and they live in these magnificent palaces.
Each billionaire wants to build that palace that's so unique that nobody else can have the same.
And we know.
And if he has a palace that has this room of shame, which nowadays is most probably
illegal
and impossible to have, and he had it, he's on the top of the world.
He's off the charts.
200-foot yacht, an 800-foot yacht, and not each one.
We all know very well that these people are miserable people.
Correct.
Correct. There are people that are called the Shvarach who gives his Yishuv Adas, a person has relatively speaking, things are stable in his life, and he's able to accomplish something.
It's an artificial simcha, but it's still a level of simcha for them.
But it's shocking. You can write that in a book, in a fiction book, in a novel, in a newspaper article, but to interpret that in a Mizmor and Tehillim, to talk about people, they're living their simcha gedol, come on! You're comfortable.
That's not the bigger question.
You're comfortable, you have what to eat.
And he's saying, you're going to have such a type of simcha. That's a problem. To me, that's worse.
Okay, you say
this is an artificial.
There's something we're missing over here, something very basic. Okay, let's finish up. And you should know it's even bigger question is the next part. Because the next part, especially there's the medrash, which we're not going to get to today. I don't know, I'm going to say one at a time. Rash is different. Rash is talking about Talmidei Chachamim. We didn't go to the Melech HaMashiach. One thing at a time. I know.
You're saying Heichel Shem is like a Gan
Eden. One thing at a time. Right now, we didn't go to the Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is going to be Shem and Sosmech HaMashiach that I understand. Everyone in Klal Yisrael, everyone in the world is going to be Mekabel with his Malchus, and he's going to be accepted unanimously. That I can understand. We understand that. He'll be accepted unanimously. More so than his predecessors. But this section over here, he's now going to experience joy, and we're giving the joy, we're comparing the joy to people that in this world have incredible joy, they live in these palaces of shame. And then it goes on to say something that's really bizarre. Pasuk Yud says, Beyikiroi Secha, okay, in Mitzudos David, Behashfachois Hayikoros. Now there's a very big machlokes over here, what exactly is the correct pronunciation? The nikud on this word is a beautiful mincha shai, which we'll discuss when we're running out of time today. Is what is the exact word? So he learns mitzvah yakar. Yakar means honor, and he's saying of behashvachos hayikarois. There are people in there. We're giving a mashal to a person who is surrounded by women, and he's so happy that he's surrounded by these women. Behashvachos hayikarois bohen yiyu af benois malachim amongst. The women that surround this individual are princesses from all over the world. Okay, Benois Malachim. Nitzva Shegal. What is the Shegal? The queen. Okay, we have this by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a throne, and on his throne he had next to him was the Shegal, which there, according to some, means a dog. It means a dog that he was miyachid for Avera. Over here, it does not mean that. Here it means a queen. And look what he writes over here, what it means. Samal kashti nitzava b'mincha, on your right side. Mikushetes, that's beautified with b'chesem oifir. Okay, gold that comes from a location called oifir, somewhere in Peru. Anyone here go to Peru lately? And bring back some gold from Peru? Oifir. Look at the Mitzvah Sion. Mitzvah Sion says, Be ki roisecha. Miloshon Yokar. Shegal came to Kare Ha'isha, a wife. Why? Ki miyuchedes lemishgol. Okay, the word lemishgol means marital relations. A wife is designated for marital relations. V'chein, we don't even say that word. Okay, tishagalna, when you lay in the Torah, you change it from the word yishkol to yishkovena, shechiva, to lie down. Not even to say it's like a dirty word. Like not even allowed to say that word. Same way in English, you know that it's a word that's censored, censorship. That word, you don't say that word because it's a graphic word. And yet over here, it's we're talking about the Melech HaMashiach. Shocking what it's, and no one over here says they should change the girsa. Doesn't say to change the girsa. And in fact, we're describing will be the Melech HaMashiach, that he's going to have such joy, like the people who have these exotic yachts. And Binois Melachim Bi Kiroi Secha, he will be surrounded by women, princesses from all over the world. And besides all of these noshim, they will also be sitting by his right side, his wife. The Melech HaMashiach, how is the Hasidim going to deal with this? It has to be a mechitza. Okay, you have a woman and you call a wife with such a term. That's how you talk. You call a wife, a wife with such a, oh, this is the woman that is designated for you know what. What? That's how you refer to your wife? This is not my wife. This is an object that I use to satisfy my taiva. And she's sitting by my right side. What? What? That's how you talk? That's how the Melech HaMashiach talks? That's how we describe the Melech HaMashiach? Okay, if you ask a Sava Chassid about the Melech HaMashiach, the wife doesn't even come going through the equation. Okay? That's not even part of the equation. We're the one. My high! Well, how do you explain this? Pshuta Shel Mikra. It's a pella to let this go by. Kein Tikar Ha'isha Kim Yuchedes L'mishko V'chein HaShegal Yosheves Etzloi. All right, it's very late. I thought we'd do a lot more. Unfortunately, we have to stop over here, take a very short break. And then we'll talk about Gid HaNoshe today. Yeah?
No, we're talking about the convention.
People who are removed from society, people think are removed from society, are referred to as people who are living in their ivory tower.
Right.
That's the expression you use. They're removed from reality. They don't know what's really going on.
That's a very good point. The ivory tower.
How was the show on Friday? I heard it was very good.
I don't know. I mean, nobody wanted to commit suicide after it was over, so I guess it worked, you know. That was the first hour. No, but I like what I really went over, because everybody was, I said, what was the main point? What was the point of coming in there in Israel if you had this order by the war of Bnei Yisrael? 40 years in the Midbar where they had so much trouble. You come in there in Israel, and now you have to bring me court. What's the first, your niece of your Martha, what's the first word? Arami Obedo. What has that got to do with it? Get over it, all the discord that came between Klal Yisrael, all the hatred that was caused from Achiris Yosef that caused us to go down to Mitzrayim, and all of these other things, God wants you to know, it was all, remember, it's not the Hatfields and McCoys who two generations before had no idea what the original fight was about. God wants you to say, get over it, it's all down to love. There's no reason for discord. Focus on the hatred to love them. And get over it, and you have to start fresh. Now in Eretz Yisrael, we made it this far, and grow from there. That's it. We're all really, you know, think about it. We're all ones down to love them.